Today's scripture reading is found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. The parable of the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went out at once and put the money to work and gathered 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his money in the ground. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold bought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Go and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where there have not sown and gather where there has not scattered seeds. So I was afraid and went out and hid your bag of gold in the ground. See, there it's what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. You know that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit and with the bankers, so that when I return, I would have received back the interest. So then the bag of gold from him. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who had 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside, into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, this morning, and I don't know what version Vivian was reading from the English Bible. What version is that? NIV? Okay. I tend to use the American Standard, so I'm a bit older than Vivian, I guess. So this morning, whenever Vivian read 1 bag of gold, my version actually, so 1 talent, 2 talents, and I think most of the Bible will translate as talent. So I changed the title. I think you should have got used to it by now that I tend to change my title the night before my sermon. And I thought that this is a better title. I was going to say VCC's Got Talent. We all enjoy watching talent show. I do. Susan Boyle. And it's always a surprise. And then we are amazed at all these different talents that people have. And at church, we also tend to talk about talents. And okay. And the church, we also always talk about, so-and-so has many spiritual gifts, so talented. Celine is so talented in singing, playing guitar, and playing drums, and someone else drums, and keyboards, piano, teaching Sunday school, leading the children, organizing events, and there are a lot of talents at church. And the parable that I'm going to share on It's a very familiar parable to most of us. And I'm sure you heard this, heard the preaching on this parable more than once. And I've heard many sermons preach on this parable. And it's a parable about a man, a master, some translated, a man about to go on a journey who call his own slaves and entrust his possessions to them. So when Vivian read about gold, the original Greek is actually talent. If you want to look, file which English translation is closest to the original language, New American Standard, maybe sometimes a bit hard to understand. So the original scripture says, it's giving the master going away on a journey. So he gave a different amount of talents to the three slaves. Some translation use the word servant, but the proper, the original word is actually slaves. So to one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. So there are 3 slaves. Obviously, a parable is just a story, as an illustration. So there are 3 slaves here, and each one have different amount of talents. So very often, we will interpret this as some has more, in the church has more ability. So God give that person more talents, obviously. Right? Some has talents in singing, so obviously we'll ask Celine to lead the singing more often. So Pastor Norman has no gift in singing, so that's why you never see me up here leading the singing. So next week maybe Ernest, and so it makes sense. So the ones that have less talents will probably less chance to exercise his or her gift. And then the master, it's not difficult for us to come to the conclusion that this man is the master. Right? So very often in the parable, the man, the master, is Jesus, God himself. So here the parable is trying to teach us that the master is going away. So yes, Jesus is going away, but he's coming back, right? Same as this story, parable here. So the man is going away, and he gave a different amount of talents to the 3 slaves according to his own ability. So all this is how it's not difficult to interpret. Immediately, the scripture says, immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. So this is a very smart slave servant. So immediately he went and bought some Amazon stocks, and so in 1 year it doubled, right? So he's very happy. And the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents, so he bought two shares of Amazon stock, so it doubled. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. But one guy said, I'm not going to take a risk in all these fan stocks, you know, and I could lose my pants on this. Right? So he's being very safe. So he just hid it away, you know, put it probably under his mattress nowadays. Will be the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, so the master is back, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. You didn't lose any money. Still here. Well, at least he didn't lose any money. Well, that's good. So he didn't buy a house last year, and then he will lose 10% this year. So I am being a good servant. And very often we will interpret this as God give us a different kind of gift. And the pastor always encouraged us to exercise, use your gift to serve the Lord. And for to everyone who has, more shall be given. But the master wasn't happy. Right? He wasn't happy. So to everyone who has, more shall be given. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Now, that is getting a bit difficult to interpret, isn't it? So the ones who exercise his or her spiritual gifts, God will give him or her more gift, more chance to serve. It makes sense, you know. I used to serve in the, started off serving in the Cantonese congregation. And then God said, that's no good man. So you serve hard. So I give you the Mandarin congregation, right? And then, well done. So I give you the English congregation. So it seemed to make sense. But how about the ones who's not serving hard at the church? So God will take his talents away. Oh, that's scary. So if you don't join the worship team, if you can sing, if you stop serving in the worship team, so God will take your voice away. Okay, you better be. So that's why Ming joined us again after so many years. Absent for the worship team, he's got a bit scared now. He was reading this, no, if I don't serve, so I won't be able to play guitar anymore. Right? This beautiful bass guitar. And then throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, it is not difficult for us to draw to the conclusion that he is referring to be outside the kingdom of God. That is hell. Now, if you don't use your gift, you'll be outside the kingdom of God. Okay. I think that should be enough to get everybody to come back to the worship team, come back to teach Sunday school, come back to serve, come back to all the ministries. Because not only that God will take away what you already had, but God will take it away and you will even be expelled to outside the kingdom of God. So this doesn't sound right. And this is always difficult to correct, to interpret. So very often, if you hear or you read sermons, you read even the Bible, same commentaries, and people tend to just skip this last words. It is a bit scary and difficult to understand. So what is the meaning of this parable? So I spent a fair amount of time in trying to understand and do exegesis, hermeneutics, and so first we have to look at what is a parable for. How did Jesus use the parable to teach the people around him? Matthew 13, verse 11 to 12 to 13. Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." So this verse, this saying, is already actually started in Matthew 13, when Jesus was explaining to people the meaning of a parable, the purpose of a parable. The parable is to let people understand. It's about the kingdom of God. The four gospels, the theme of the four gospels is all about the kingdom of God. It's about the kingdom, the already and has not of the kingdom of God. So when we look at any parables, and we can start off by thinking, interpreting that the parable is about most of the time, if not all the time, about the kingdom of God. And I think we understood that Right? That's why we interpret the master is Jesus, servant, slave is us. And it's about how we use our gift in the kingdom. And the next question we ask ourselves in the parable is, who are the characters in the parable besides the Lord Master? So when Jesus was on earth, who was he attacking most of the time? I don't think it's difficult for us to come to the conclusion that most of the time Jesus was scolding the Pharisees, the church, not the church, but the religious leaders at that time, the scribes, the Jewish church religious leaders, teachers. So the bad people in the parables, most of the time, Jesus is referring to the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, the scribes, the ones who know the word of God well. And then we move on. What is talent meant, not means? Talents is only in the modern English, meaning ability, giftedness. But when the New Testament was written, a talent is actually a unit of weight. It's the biggest weight unit at that time. It's like today, the biggest unit is a ton, right? Well, you can have gigatons and megatons, but ton is the biggest unit. That's how they used to measure the weight. But during Jesus' time, the word talent is a unit, it's a weight unit. One talent is the heaviest unit at that time. And usually the talent is used to measure monetary, gold or silver in those days. So Auntie Vivian read gold, or could be silver. One talent of gold, one talent of silver. So it was not clear that in this parable, what Jesus was referring to, but it is referring to a very heavy amount, a huge amount of money at that time. And most scholars interpret this talent here as referring to a talent of silver, because silver is the more common unit of money in those days. So one talent. If you can see it here, this is one talent. It's a lot of silver. A lot of silver. So one talent is the biggest unit. It's about 70 to 80 pounds. It's about what a soldier can carry in those days. You know, so during the payday, you know, I pay you one talent. You have to be able to carry home, right? One talent. Right? If I give you so much, you cannot carry home, then it's no good. Right? You hire people to carry home. Right? So one talent is about what a soldier can carry, about 60 to 80 pounds of silver. So one talent is about, at that time, is about people's 20 years of wage. So it's a lot of money. So five talents is five times 20 is what? Okay, get out your calculator. Okay. Actually, I've seen people get a calculator, five times 20, okay. It's 100. 100 talent, 100 years of wage. So basically, it meant all you can earn in your lifetime. It's a huge amount of money. All you've earned in your lifetime. So the talents here is not referring to the gift, because our giftedness, our ability. The talents here referring to something that's very valuable. The most valuable thing that God can entrust to his slaves. And what is most valuable? Something that will not be owned by the slaves, because these are slaves. They do not own the master's wealth. So the most valuable that the master or God can entrust his people is his word in the Old Testament. Right? His words, his truth, God himself, God's blessings. So God entrusts this most valuable, the heaviest wage unit at that time, to his slaves, not for the slaves to own. They have no part in this. They own nothing, no part of this wealth. This is all the masters. The master is only entrusting, letting them to invest this valuable, the heaviest, which is the grace of God, the blessings. It was from day one that God never intended to just have the Israelites to keep the good news to themselves, to keep God's truth to themselves. God's intention from day one is always to use the Israelites as a channel of blessing to all the people in the world. So their job is to make profit, to earn back, to let more people get to experience the blessings of God. So the ones, the slave who have 5 talents and gain back 5 more talents, they're good. The master call him the good and faithful. Good meaning beneficial, making profit, and faithful. Faithful, working hard for his master. But the other one, the 1 talent, the master call him worthless, useless, unprofitable. The proper translation, unprofitable. Lazy. Useless and lazy. That's not a very good term to to say to your children, right? Your parents may say that to you when you're young, you're so lazy, right? But don't call your children useless. But here the master is saying you're useless, lazy, and useless as compared to good, beneficial, profitable, and faithful. When God gives the good news, God's grace to his people, the Israelites, the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. Genesis 12:3, 18:18, 22:18, three passages repeating the same message. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So from day one, when God chose the Israelites to be his people, the people of God, God's intention was never for them to just to keep God's grace blessings to themselves, but to share with all nations. But instead, they kept it to themselves, even up to today. So the talent here, it's not meaning our spiritual gift. It's meaning the most valuable thing that God has, his grace, his blessing, he himself. God did not give you a talent for you to go and bury it. So I change a little bit. God did not give you the gospel for you to go and bury it. But the people, the one time, the people of God, the Israelites, they kept it to themselves. In fact, they even missed the Messiah. So they cannot share the joy with the Master. And God did not continue to use them. They were cast out of the kingdom of God. God gave the talents to the church, the new people of God. And the church, the new people of God, the New Testament call it, the new people of God, they bring the gospel to all nations to continue what's in God's heart, the master's heart, to be profitable. I read this last night. To withhold a warning of death and disaster is cruel and unacceptable. The writer is referring to the gospel, not about the airplane 737, the crash. It's so sad, isn't it? I was reading it. The reason that they suspect The reason for the two crashes is because they make one of the safety features on the plane an option. So some of the companies trying to save money, so they skip that option. But the planes who have that option is on the software control would have no problem with flying the plane. But some airline companies skip that option, and it gave them the problem. To withhold a warning of death and disaster, to withhold the gospel, not sharing the good news, not telling people that there is not just heaven, there's also hell. It's outside the kingdom of God. It's cruel and unacceptable. This is a very, very strong word, isn't it? I've never read anything this strong. We say, see, God, talent. So I use that, I picked that title. It's not saying that we have a lot of gifted people. Yes, we do. We do have a lot of gifted people. But I picked the title, Night Street Church, God Talents, because God has entrusted us a very valuable message, His grace, His blessing. God put us here in a, it's like the best location you can find for sharing the gospel in this city. We're right in the middle of the city. And people can take a bus here, SkyTrain. And God gave us a lot of resources. We have a very beautiful, I know that it's 50 years old, but it's still very beautiful, sanctuary, facilities, nice equipment. Many of our brothers and sisters are in seminaries. We have more than 12 mostly from the Cantonese and Mandarin, 2 from Mandarin and 10 from Cantonese. They are in studying in seminaries to equip themselves. We are very blessed. So we see God talents, not ability, but God gave us a very valuable grace message for us to share. And we have to be profitable, quote unquote, on it. We have to be like that slave who have 5 talents. We have to gain back 5 talents, or God is not going to use us. God's going to take our talent away and give it to other churches, other people. Look at the churches in Europe. God one time gave them the many, many talents. Some of the very high-level seminaries, Bible schools are still in Europe. A lot of scholars, but they did not spread the gospel. So God took that away and gave it to churches in North America. But our country is slowly walking away from God. So won't be surprised that one day God will take that away from us and give it to someone else, some other churches. We need to make use of every opportunity. The one who got 5 talents in verse 16, he said that he immediately went out and trade and make profit. Immediately. Opportunities will pass away, pass us very quickly. We have to be very responsible. We have to be immediately. So I want to stress this point immediately. Don't wait for a few days. Alpha is coming up. Invite people to come. There are people, your friends, and Larry was praying, and Larry doesn't know what I'm preaching this morning, but he was praying that we have to get hold of all this opportunity to share the gospel with our friends, family members, classmates. School is the best place to share the gospel. I led so many people, students, to Christ when I was young. As people get older, it's more difficult. It's more difficult to bring people to Christ. But if you are in school, that is the best opportunity. You should immediately get over this opportunity. Opportunities pass by very quickly. I'm talking to the young people. They're all sitting over here. And don't miss the opportunity. In the late 70s, Nolan Bushnell, older people would know, the founder of Atari. You know what Atari is? No? Atari, it's a computer game. Atari. So in the 70s, Nolan Bush created the Atari Games Company. He's an electrical engineer. And he became, of course, very wealthy. And then Steve Jobs, you know who Steve Jobs is, right? Okay. The founder of Apple, one of the founders. So went to him, because he's already very rich, right, by that time in the 70s. So asked him, do you want to invest $50,000 in my company? And I'll give you one third of Apple. So no, I'm not stupid. This company worth nothing. So, and I said, no, of course not. well, we all know what happened afterwards. So in Nolan Bush's biography later on, he said that Steve asked me if I would put $50,000 in and he would give me a third of the company. I was so smart. I said, no. It's kind of fun to think about it that when I am not crying now. If you put $10,000 in 20 years ago, a BMW is about $35,000. The cheapest BMW is $35,000. So if we invest $10,000 20 years ago in Apple stock, that's one third of a car, your $10,000 today will become $1.5 million. So they give you some idea. So instead of buying that BMW 20 years ago, you put it in the Apple stock, you'll be about $5 million rich. And then 1999 BMW, I checked last night, is about $3,000 today. So opportunities, today if you buy Apple stock, you won't have this profit. Opportunities will pass by. The opportunities is better than the Apple stocks or Amazon stocks. The people's life. They just pass by. So it is an opportunity we cannot miss. When I was young, I keep saying when I was young, I served the student ministry for over 20 years. And each year, I think I bring about 10 to 15 people to Christ. Personally, I led them to say the prayer. So 20 years, about 300. And after that, I still move into adult ministry. It's more difficult. So I'll be good if I can bring 8 people to Christ. 20 years is about 160. So in my lifetime until today, I've probably brought about 500 people to Christ. I guess that's acceptable. But that's not good enough. Nobody would know this gentleman, Edward Kimball. He's a Sunday school teacher in U.S. It's not a pastor, evangelist. It's nobody. The only reason that people know him was only later on. He was a very faithful Sunday school teacher, like many of you. He taught Sunday school, and it's about only 10 or 12 students in his class. So being a faithful Sunday school, so one of the students keeps skipping classes, so he went and do home visitations, like many of our children workers. You know. Sometimes you do work with the parents, not just the kids. So he went and visited this young chap working in a shoe store. He went and later on, you know, in the bibliography, he said, I only went there, I don't know, I'm not good in evangelism. So I just tell him that God loves you and you have to respond to God's love. That's all I know how to say. He said, I'm not a preacher. And then this young man, teenager, is D.L. Moody, that we all know, the greatest evangelist in the 19th century. And then in his bibliography, D.L. Moody said, that day, I can still feel the power of the man's hand on my shoulder. So this Sunday school teacher, being faithful, he brought D.L. Moody to Christ. So D.L. Moody, we all know, later on become a great evangelist. And he has brought over 1 million people to Christ through his evangelistic events. So among the many people he brought to Christ, there was a businessman called John Chapman. And John Chapman decided to give up his business and then become an evangelist again. I didn't forget to put down his name. So he became an evangelist, and then he brought many more people to Christ. And then he would preach in baseball stadiums and football stadiums. And so one of the baseball players, Billy Sunday, was a very famous baseball player at that time, got converted, and then he became an evangelist. And then during his lifetime, Billy Sunday brought 300,000 people to Christ. And then among all the people that he brought to Christ, there is a man called Mordecai Ham, Pastor Mordecai Ham. And then he later on became an evangelist. So he brought more people to Christ. So in one of his evangelistic meetings, there was a 16-year-old young man, that's in 1920, and with his buddy, and tried to get into the stadium. But the stadium was full, so that he could not find a seat. So the young man left, but lucky, or it's God's plan, it's not lucky, nothing is lucky. Right? God's plan. So the usher said, don't go away, I'll make you a seat. So he brought this young man, 16-year-old, to the front and gave him a seat. And then he was, later on, according to this man's bibliography, he was converted in that meeting, and he was he's the famous Billy Graham. And then he bought. So I Google Billy Graham. Dr. Billy Graham has preached to 200 million people in his lifetime, 200 million. And he has brought 3 million people through his crusades, 3 million people to Christ. Wow. It's all started from one Sunday school teacher, a no-name Sunday school teacher. I was going to say, just like you, but you are more than no name. I know all your names. Right? Just an ordinary Sunday school teacher. So brothers and sisters, there are lots of opportunities. We have to grasp every opportunity to share the gospel. And we don't know that effect. Someone we brought to Christ will be, God will greatly use that person to bring more people to Christ. And many, many years ago, I was giving out tracts in Chinatown. And then I saw a young man walk past by me, and then he was also giving out tracts in Chinatown. So he looked at me, I looked at him, he smiled. I don't know him. So he passed by, I said, I don't know this. But a brother in Christ. But then he walked back. After he passed, he walked back, and then I said, Norman, you recognize me? He said, no, I don't recognize you. He said, well, I studied at UBC. And one time you shared the gospel with me in the Cedric Library, and I even scold you. Do you remember? I don't remember. I tend to forget people's bad things, and I don't remember you. But I later became a Christian. So I remember you shared the gospel with me, even though I did not accept. And then now I'm giving out gospel tracts in Chinatown. So grasp every opportunity. It's a song I like very much. Not at death I shrink nor falter. For my Savior saves me now, but to meet him empty-handed, thoughts of that now clouds my brow. Must I go and empty-handed, must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go. We will not lose our salvation, not like in the parables. God stopped using the people, the nation, who did not make known God's name. God chose the church to continue his mission. God's mission is always in the Old Testament to have these blessings to all nations. In the New Testament, the Great Commission, which is also our vision statement, unified in Christ for the mission of God. Christ gave us the mission to bring the gospel to the end of the world. God's heart is always to have all people on this earth have the chance to hear this gospel. God bless us here in this these facilities here. It's not just for us to close the door and have a good fellowship, a good love feast, a good time together. It's always God gave us all these blessings so that we can share with people outside. So I want to close with a story. So there's an old church, and they have a really beautiful painting of Christ inside the church. So one time the church got fire, and then two young men just rushed into the church and rescued and took that painting of Jesus out of the building, onto the street. And then the building, the fire was so great, so big that it just burned down the building. So a lot of people went by, so sad, you know, this nice heritage church building got burned down. But then the painting of Christ was outside the building. So it was saved. So everybody looked at this, wow, what a beautiful painting. You know? The pastor said the painting is always here, but what a beautiful painting. So the whole building got burned down. So the pastor said, when the church caught fire and moved Christ into the streets where people see him, then they were interested. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? I'm not asking God to burn our church down again. We already got burned down once. We not got burned. There was a fire in this church. Someone tried to burn down our church 30 years ago. So we already got burned once. But I think the church has to be on fire. We are on fire in many things, but we need to be on fire in preaching the gospel. The Alpha is coming up. A mission convention is coming up. We need to be on fire, inviting people, sharing the gospel. If you don't know how to share, you come and ask me. It's very easy to share the gospel because the gospel sells itself. Well, you don't have to add anything to it. The gospel has power itself. And if you don't know how to share the gospel, at least bring people to Alpha and let someone else share the gospel. Our job is to bring people and let them have the chance to hear this message. So we have to be on fire and move Christ outside the church. We cannot keep Christ inside our church all the time. The reason that God bless us here is so that we can bring Christ to the outside world. So that's my message. Let us pray. Father, we pray that this morning you will fire us up, fire our hearts up. When we first became a Christian, our hearts was on fire to serve you, to love you, to share this good news. As time went by, and we our fire getting smaller and smaller. And the Lord, pray that you will bless us this morning, empower us, that we have this courage and passion to bring the gospel outside this church, outside our church community, outside our fellowships, so that more people can have these blessings, can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray, amen.